I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning or this afternoon, and we pray that you bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, now I've been sharing with you from Those Who Forget, isn't it? And we've been talking about the unrighteousness of those who forget. Hallelujah. That the common sins we know are not the only forms or expressions of unrighteousness, but there are other things that constitute unrighteousness which are not normally considered unrighteousness. And one of them is forgetting. Isn't it? And when you forget something, it means you don't take that something into account. You don't include it. Actually, if you look in the dictionary and you look for the meaning of the word forget, and you see what it says. Just look in your dictionary. It's good to have a dictionary when you're reading the Bible, so you can understand. You know, sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you see a big word you don't understand, you don't have to assume that it is spiritual. That's why the word is big. It's English language, amen. So you can understand it with the help of a dictionary. What does it mean?
It says the first one is to fail to remember.
To fail to remember. Right?
Yes.
And what's the next one?
Inadvertently neglect to do, bring or mention something.
You inadvertently
neglect to do.
Okay.
Bring or mention something.
Please, what's going on here? Okay.
And then?
Yeah.
It says...
Wait, fix mine. Okay. All right. Yes, you inadvertently
neglect.
Introduced another big word, yeah. Which is inadvertently.
Okay. Neglected.
Okay, right. Oh. To leave behind unintentionally. To fail to think about something. Okay, right. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about failing to consider something which should be central to your considerations. What do you think? Failing to include something in your thoughts which should be included when you are making considerations about maybe something in particular or just living generally. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God, Hebrews 6 and verse 10 is our scripture. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it says God is not unrighteous to forget. Hallelujah. Right? So God is not unrighteous to forget. Hallelujah. Right. So then that means that people who forget are unrighteous and do not have the nature of God. Hallelujah. People who forget are unrighteous and they do not have the nature of God. They do not have the nature of God. People who forget what has been done for them, people who forget who has helped them, people who forget who has been a blessing to them, people who forget who opened doors for them, who prayed for them, who counseled them, who paid their fees, who fed them. You know, people who forget such things, and such people are walking in unrighteousness, and they do not have the nature of God. Hallelujah. See, the natural man likes to exalt himself. Do you see what I'm saying? The natural man likes to exalt the self component in any achievement. You see, let's say you achieve something which is often the product of some contribution from you and then something else that others did. Do you see? Often we like to diminish what others did and exalt or magnify what we did. Is that true or false? That's natural. Because when you sort of glorify other people's contribution to your life, then you become smaller and they become bigger. Do you see? But Jesus Christ, he said that he must increase. And no, actually, that was John the Baptist who said that. He was referring to Jesus Christ. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. Do you understand? He must go up and I must go down. So I'm just trying to introduce you to a way of thinking.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A way of thinking that intentionally recognizes and acknowledges the contribution of others to your success and to your achievements. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
See, if you forget what you did, it's not a problem. If you forget what someone did for you, that is a problem. What do you think? Yeah. So you must try not to forget what others have done for you. Can I have an amen? The nature of God is to recognize other people's contribution. Jesus Christ, John chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Hallelujah. Now, this is Jesus. When he walked on earth, he constantly reminded us of where he came from, the source of his power, where he got his information. Even when he preached, he told people where he got his preaching from. Do you understand? Jesus commonly said, it is written in the law of Moses, like he would refer to what Moses had said. Do you see? Because that rather even made his preaching authentic and made the people more likely to believe what he was saying than not. Because Moses was someone they recognized. Moses was someone they accepted as a leader and someone who had led them historically. So Jesus referred to Moses. Jesus referred to the Father, like the passage we just read. He said, everything I'm doing is what I've seen my Father do. I'm just copying my Father. Do you understand? Yeah, I'm just copying my Father. Because the world naturally would teach us to pretend that we didn't learn anything from anywhere. You see, and it's the same spirit that guides people who never want to acknowledge who has helped them. Do you understand? Yes. That is how you can have a concept like a self-made man. I mean, how can you call yourself self-made when you are standing on someone's soil?
You are preaching.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Goodness.
Yeah. There is no such thing as a self-made person. Everyone is a product of something he did, plus a lot that others did. Do you see? Yeah. And that's why you must be grateful. And that is why there must be a part of you always that is willing and ready to give and to contribute and to do something to help others. Because you have been helped yourself. Someone had to build a school for you to attend it. Isn't it? Yeah, someone had to build a school. So you can't go to such a school and come out with a good grade or a good degree and call yourself a self-made man when you didn't build a school. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You must acknowledge people. And it is the reason also why the world frowns upon, you know, the concept called plagiarism. World doesn't like it. That you would write something, isn't it? And cite it in your writing, take somebody's work, put it there as though you did it yourself. So no, and there's nothing wrong with quoting people. The world doesn't mind if you quote people. They just want you to acknowledge that what you got is from this person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's how it is. That's the world in which we live. And Jesus himself practiced that. Jesus, let's read that verse again. Verse 19. He said, "For then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In other words, I'm copying the Father and I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, I'm copying the Father and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm telling you that. You see how he started? He said, verily, 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 surely, surely, truly, truly, yours truly, sincerely. I am telling you that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Then look at the next verse, verse 20. He said, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Right? Then the next one. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." So he says, God is raising people from the dead. That's how come I'm also raising people from the dead. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Christianity is following the art of following Christ.
Amen.
It's what you call Christianity, isn't it? It's the art of becoming like Christ. And if Jesus would acknowledge who has helped him, who has taught him, who has showed him what he knows, if he would, he's not ashamed to point to the source and say, this is where I learned what I learned from, in acknowledgement of the present, then you should not be in a hurry to detach or disconnect yourself from the source of your knowledge, the source of your blessing, and the source of your help.
Amen.
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 And start saying and calling yourself a self-made person when you really are not a self-made person. Before you even ask for it, people were there ready to catch you when you were being born. You didn't even ask for it, but they showed up anyway. They picked you up, they cleaned you up, they helped you, they gave you your first injections, they helped you, and you survived. Do you see? You cannot now say that you have helped yourself. Hallelujah. Right? Now, the next one is that people who forget are unrighteous, and they are cursed to wither. Now look at this verse, Job chapter 8 and verse 11. Job chapter 8 and verse 11. This is a very interesting one. It says, doth the papyrus shoot up without myrrh? Can the flag grow without water? Do you see? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Amen. Do you understand this? See, mire is like a swamp. It's a kind of condition of the ground. Do you see? Now, he's referring to a specific tree that does not grow outside that environment. Do you understand it?
Yeah.
Yes. He's referring to a tree that does not grow outside that environment. He says, does... This one is calling it the rush, right? My version says the papyrus. The papyrus is a type of tree, isn't it? Right? Now he says, does it grow up without myrrh? Do you see? And then does the flag, which is another type of plant, right? He says, can that one grow without water? So what he's saying is that you are you. But the conditions have to be right for you to develop and become what you have become. Isn't it? There must be mire and there must be water. That's not your contribution. You are the papyrus. You are the tree. You possess all the qualities of the papyrus. All the things that you can expect from a papyrus, they are in you. That is true. But the mire also has to be contributed, and that is not you. Hallelujah. Can you understand how it works? So it ends, look at it, the next verse 12. Whilst it is, that means if you try to grow without the water, it says, while it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, that means there are things that die, not because someone cut it down. You leave it, you didn't cut it down, but it will still die. It would die because there is a shortage of water. The other thing that must be contributed has been removed. Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure you understand it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? It says, it is not cut down, and yet it will die in its greenness.
Wow.
It will wither. Hallelujah. This is so important. And it says, so are the paths, look at it, so are the paths of all that forget God. Amen. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Right? It says, the path of people who forget God. So you see, when I see people who seem to be doing well, God has blessed them. And really, the Bible says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. John chapter 3 and verse 27. John 3 and 27. It says, a man, look at this verse. John chapter 3 and verse. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Did you see that?
Yeah.
A man. That means a human being.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Those of you who are thinking, what about women? You see, I told you, you have to stop arguing, because even the species is called human. Human, not human. You get it? It's just a type of, woman is a type of man. So you just have to accept it and not argue about everything in church. Tell your neighbor, stop arguing in church. Hallelujah. Even the species is called human, you see. So, right. It says a man, that means a human being, can receive nothing. Whoever he is, he can receive nothing. And you'll be surprised that God blesses some people that you don't even expect him to bless. No, it's true. God blesses certain people, you wonder why. But you see, in the book of Matthew, Jesus was explaining that God causes his rain to fall both on the righteous and the unrighteous. And when the rain falls on the unrighteous, whatever the rain does for the righteous, it does also for the unrighteous. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? So sometimes you see even some of these stars who look like they're very successful, and you just wonder, these people don't even go to church and they are millionaires and they have whatnot. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Wow. Except it be given him from heaven. You cannot have anything. I don't think we can explain, you know, the origins of everybody's wealth. Or we can explain always how or why people qualify for things. Do you understand? You know, I was reading a verse this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And the Bible says over there, it said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Can you see that? Yeah. Power to get wealth. "That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers." Right. So God is giving somebody power to get wealth so that he can be faithful to a promise he made to that person's father. Can you see that? Yeah. He says that he made a covenant with your fathers, you know, and I'm going to have to give you power to get wealth so that that covenant can stand. Yeah. So you can be living at a time where you have power. You write a song and it brings so much wealth. You act a play or a movie and it brings so much wealth. You don't even know where it's coming from. But God gives people power to get wealth so that a covenant he has made can be established. So that covenant, that because God is a covenant keeping God. Even if you die, even if you die before it's fulfilled, God will keep his part. When my father passed away, somebody told me about one of his friends who owed him some money. You know. And so we went to ask the guy that we are told that our dad loaned you some money. He said, "What? Your dad? No." We couldn't prove it. Because it was just friends. And he had given him some money. We saw them moving around together and they were friends. And my mom was so sure that this man was giving the money. And the guy says, "No, because the man is no longer alive. And you don't have anything to prove that he gave me money. So let's consider that it never happened." But God is not like that. If God makes a covenant with you, he is an everlasting God. He will always be around. But you are not an everlasting human. So it is likely that God can make a covenant with you and you may not even live long to see its fulfillment. Then he sees your children. And he sees your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Then he gives them power to get wealth so that he can establish the covenant that he made over here. Because God is not going to run away from what he has promised. Amen. Are you understanding it? Yeah. So God gives people power to get wealth that he may establish the covenant. So you may not be able to explain people's wealth, but just know this, that anyone who has anything, regardless of who they are, they could not have received it if heaven had not released it to them. Do you understand? You cannot get into the qualifications for that blessing. Why does God give it to them? Why does God allow them to have it? It's too complex and too complicated. You may not understand. Just accept that a man can receive nothing except it given him from above. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding it? Yeah. And so the Bible is saying that people who forget God. When you forget God, you know, can you take us back to that Job scripture again? The Job scripture, right? Pastor Paul, what did you have to read? The Message translation. Job chapter 8 and verse 11.
It says, can mighty pine trees grow tall without soil?
Okay.
Can luscious tomatoes flourish without water?
Okay.
Blossoming flowers look great before they are cut or picked. Uh-huh. But without soil or water, they wither more quickly than grass.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Ask somebody, who is your soil? There must be somebody in your life who became to you what soil is to this pine tree. Do you understand? Yes. And he says, when people forget God, then what happens to these trees, you know, will also happen to those people, right? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth. It withereth. While it is yet in his greenness, it's not being cut down, and yet it dies.
Wow.
Then it says, so, where's the verse 13? Bring King James again. Yes. So are the paths of all that forget God. Hallelujah. So we forget God, you know, at our own peril. We must not forget God. Hallelujah. We must not forget God. Then the next one very quickly is that unrighteous people are not conscious of the dangers of forgetting. That forgetting is such a serious thing, but unrighteous people are not conscious of it. David, the king, he knew that forgetting God, forgetting who has been a blessing to you, must have some consequences. David knew that. And so he wrote the psalm, Psalm 137. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, right? There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Then this is it. He says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Hallelujah. He was just recollecting the times in Zion. Zion is the spiritual name for the church. Zion, Jerusalem, they all refer to the church. Do you understand? And he was trying to remember. He was saying that, I must not forget those times. I must not forget what a blessing the house of God has been to me. I must not forget those times in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so when some people came up to them and said, sing us one of those songs. They said, no, how can we sing the Lord's song? One of those church songs. How can we sing it in such a place? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And he says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Hallelujah. Next one, unrighteous people forget when they are full. They forget God when they are full. When they are full, when they have houses, and when they are rich. Okay? So that's the common season for forgetting. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Hallelujah. So forgetfulness and forgetting God happens commonly when things are working out for people, isn't it? Yes. Then the last one is unrighteous people who forget are often proud. Pride is the foundation of people who forget. Okay, so right there in that verse, you can see it says, when everything you have is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Hallelujah. So again, it's the exaltation of self, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pushing yourself up, you know, and exalting yourself as the main reason why so much good has come to you or that things are working out. Hallelujah. And we have to be careful of that. Amen. Especially when it comes to the area of giving. Amen. If you think that your own power and your own might has gotten you something, then it's always difficult to give it away. Do you understand? See, like if I give this to Pastor Paul, where are you? Okay, take yours as well. Give it to me. Right? So imagine that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, and this also is mine. All right? And this also is mine. I have all these, they all belong to me. Then I bless them to him. Okay? Now, when I come back and I say, I want one of these, if he understands that I gave them to him, it's not so hard to give it back to me. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. It's not so hard for me to just grab one of these. You know, just one. Even if I want two, it's not such a problem. Because he knows that he got them from me. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But when he thinks that this is the result of his own effort and his hard work, you see, that when he's thinking my own might and my own power has gotten me this wealth, when that is his mindset, then when I come asking for this, you know, even one, if I ask even for one, he starts to hide and he begins to question, what do I want it for? What am I going to do with it? Why am I asking him, and why him in particular? Why don't I ask the others also? These are all questions he will not ask if he was conscious of the fact that I gave them to him. Does it make sense? Yes. So whenever you find yourself struggling to give, it's often a sign that you have forgotten who gave you. Do you see? You have forgotten that God gave you. God blessed you with something. God helped you. God gave you a job. God gave you health. God blessed you with relevance to the job. It is God. Hallelujah. But when we forget, then we fight, we struggle, we argue, and it becomes a whole problem. Can I have an amen? Tell your neighbor, do not forget what the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Right. Okay. Amen. Now bow your heads, please, and let's pray. I want you to pray as we close today and thank God for everything He has given you, whether they are people, opportunities, open doors, jobs, everything that God has given you and everything that God has blessed your life with. Just thank Him. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you for everything you have given me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed me and I'm grateful. Thank you. Think of so many people who don't have the things you have. So many people who are not exposed to the things you're exposed to. So many people who cannot do what you can do. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. A man can receive nothing. Whether it's a gift, is a talent, is an ability, is a skill, it's a knowledge. God is the one who gave it to you. God is the one who gave it to you. God is the one who gave it to you. God gave it to you. And I want you to acknowledge Him and say, Lord, I'm grateful. I thank you. Thank you for the gifts you have given me. Thank you for the skills you have given me. Thank you for the knowledge you have given me. Thank you for the understanding you have given me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Now, as we bring the service to a close, maybe you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you're not born again. You know in your heart that you have not given your life to Jesus. Here is an opportunity to do so before we leave this afternoon. I want to help you. I want to lead you in a prayer to commit your life to God and to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're watching us on the internet. And you know in your heart that you are not born again. You are not saved. That Jesus is not the Lord of your life. That if you died today, you don't know if you go to heaven for sure. You can be sure. You can be certain. You can be sure. I want to give you that opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. And I want you right where you are just to lift up your right hand just so you can acknowledge and say, I am the one. I am the one. And let us pray together. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Is there anyone here today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Right. Now, let us pray together. Everybody just say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. I confess with my mouth. God raised you from the dead. Say, come into my heart, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, as we come to the Lord's table, let's come to the Lord's table.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. And drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed. It's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven. Yes, it will sustain you. It will heal you. It will give you life. When I see the blood
Does everybody have one? Okay. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your blessing on your body and the blessing on the blood. The Bible says, unless we eat your body and drink your blood, we have no life in us. We thank you for the life you're bringing into us today. Thank you that anything that is strangling us spiritually, anything that has wrapped itself around us, intending to squeeze the life out of us, is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Anything that is trying to kill us, to destroy us, to destroy our relationship with you, to make us backslide, to make us fall away, in the name of Jesus, let that thing perish in the name of Jesus. Thank you for life-giving blood. Thank you for the life-giving meal, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Now take with me the bread and say the body of Jesus Christ. Say the body of Jesus Christ. And you may eat the bread. Thank you, Lord. Now take this also with me and say the blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you again for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Right. Let's receive our tithes very quickly. Those of you who have your tithe. And also our second offering.